with any other plastic wrap.
Low $94 a month payment.
Makes food better.
More cottony soft fiber than the leading brand.
Makes food better.
We didn't think we could afford them.
No, that's when we just started wrestling.
In actual touch tests, people are
shoppers.
24% more.
You too. Pop Invasion.
So ultra soft. Comfort for the family. Soft, thick, Kleenex.
This radio station has been taken over by U2's Pop Invasion.
For your family. Soft, thick, Kleenex.
Here's U2, Adam, Larry, Bono, and the Edge with Jeff the Fish live from Burbank.
New York, London, Paris, Munich.
Okay, it's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
And U2 is in the studio. It's been so many years since we've been able to say that. Hi, you guys. They're all here.
Oh, hi, ho.
Hey, Adam. Adam, pull up a microphone. Pull up a microphone there. They've been so gracious. Yeah, that's much better.
They've been
hanging out a little bit, talked to some fans downstairs, and I'm just trying to figure out, is this what has to happen? You guys have to come to K-Rock for me to get this much attention at the radio station? It's like we've got refreshments in here. We've got champagne
and Guinness
Stoli.
Guinness and champagne.
That's right.
It's black velvet.
Can I get you anything here?
Well, I think, I'll have some more.
Okay.
Some more.
All right. So,
more or less.
This is what I don't understand at all. Just getting a little bit of the attention that you guys get, being on the periphery of the U2 whirlwind, yeah, is just about all I can handle. How do you guys handle it for like a year at a time? Just like with everyone gawking at you and getting this much attention like everywhere you go. I mean, how do you deal with that?
You're the one wearing the short pants. and I just want you to know, and the lime green sports shirt. So you look like you can handle a bit of attention.
Well, thank you.
I'm the one in the hood doing the shy pop star routine. It's funny though, isn't it? You know, this is what we always wanted. It's what everyone always wants who joins in a band, isn't it? All the fuss and all the stuff that goes with it. It's just great. It's really great. And it's great to have your station let us come in and mess with it.
Yeah. Well, you gave us a list of songs, and most of it is stuff I would pick if I were just running the show anyway. Played Audio Web here about a month ago.
Great.
And, of course, I love the Chemical Brothers. What other kind of music is exciting you guys? Like, Larry, you have to step up to this mic. You can't be shy.
Step up to the mic.
That's right. You're the one who disappears after every show. You're the one who lays the lowest.
Disappear below the drum riser.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom. Yes. Chad, I wouldn't mess with Larry because he hits things for a living, so you've got to be careful of him.
That's right. That's right. Larry Mullen Jr. Everybody's saying, one of the questions everybody's saying, did you hire Bono? Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
Yeah?
This is bollocks. You just came up on, what's his name, David Letterman, and you've been running with this story. I haven't heard anything but this story for the last 2 weeks about him giving me my first job.
I know it's
and
hard.
On air, I said yes, because, you know.
Hey, come on.
But,
you can own up to it, it's all right.
That's fair enough. I don't, it's true. I don't even consider it a job.
Okay, we're talking to you two on 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's sort of the Pop Invasion, because they get to come in here and play some songs in just a few minutes. We'll talk to them about some more goodies. Well, let's play a Bjork song right now, okay? We'll be right back. Talk to you two on 106.7 K-Rock. Okay.
Bono, The Edge, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen Jr. will control all that you see and hear. U2's Pop Invasion. Pop Invasion.
Bjork on 106.7 K-Rock, K-Rock Cube, Pop Invasion with U2 in the studio. Hello! We've got Adam here, we've got Larry here, we've got Edge here, and we've got Bono. Hi, you guys.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
You were making shh type noises there while you were chewing. I was actually talking to Jed for 10 minutes there, but he's listening to Bjork. And that is very cool.
Oh.
Because not a lot of DJs actually listen to the music, we're told.
Well, I had to, because there's so much activity flying around here. Like when I played the Howie B single a little while ago, I just, you know, I go, you know what, don't blow this off, listen to it. So I did.
That was great. Well, we turned it up inside. We're having a little party inside, and we were turning up the speakers, because it's not every day you get to hear Howie B on the radio. So we were jumping up and down on that one.
Everyone, and that comes out in August or September. But I bet everyone, you think everyone loves you because you're you two here, but they love you because they get to drink at work today. That's what's going on.
So, and smoke cigarettes,
right,
what we're told.
Right. All right, it's Jed the Fish. We have you two in the studio here at K-Rock. It's U2 Pop Invasion. Of course, the Pop Mart Tour is coming to the L.A. Coliseum tomorrow. And Maria had a question. Let's see. Larry, would you like to ask Edge this question?
Who gets to fly the lemon?
Who gets to fly the lemon?
Like, who is the captain of the lemon?
Yeah.
I would say spiritually, Adam. As yeah. I think he is really,
I do the flower arrangements. The guys won't get in there unless the flower arrangements are happening.
So that brings up a good question: are you guys, when you're kind of locked in this thing, is it dark in there until?
There's a kind of inner life.
Yeah, you don't know whose hand you're holding.
we don't so much talk,
or even if it's
astral
a hand.
Travel.
Yeah, so it is kind of a spiritual arrival, if you will.
Yes, it is.
It's one of the many highlights in the show. My favorite part, I was talking to Edge about this up in Oakland when I saw the show for the first time, because I didn't get to go over to Vegas to see it. But the idea of using video screens. Of course, last time on Zoo TV, you had a bazillion video screens, and on this time, you don't have one. I mean, you don't have two, you don't have three, you don't have four. There's only one place to look if you want to see the video screen, and that is on that huge LED giant thing that that Paul McGinnis was nice enough to give me, your manager was nice enough to give me a close look at. So what is it like to do a tour this big?
What's it like to do a tour where people aren't looking at the band?
Yeah.
Lies.
It's great, that thing. I mean, live in the drive-in. I mean, that's what we call it. It's like, it's just a way of giving people at the back of the hall, you know, the back of the place, to just see it up close. I mean, that's it, you know.
It's like a drive-in.
Yeah.
it's just like locking in right now. Yeah, that's perfect. It's a drive-in.
All the stuff, the whole stage is all built up from bits and pieces that you find on the edges of, like, L.A., you know. It's like a sort of closed-down drive-in, like, a giant 40-foot lemon, you know, the sort of things you find.
But it's simple and it's elegant. It isn't cluttered at all. It's,
No, it's just, you know, it's not a high concept. It's a smart-ass show. It's actually much more to do with the songs and the other stuff around it. It's just the fun and the funk. You know, it's just so we get away with our songs, and you know, because in our songs, you know the way our songs are, we don't want to be bleeding all over our people. so we need to lighten up a little bit with the, you know, with the show.
All right, we got you two here in the studio. It's a Pop Invasion, and it's on 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. You're sort of eavesdropping on the Los Angeles version of this. We're going to open it up to the rest of the world at 6 o'clock. And, Adam, I wanted to ask you, while we're talking about that giant video screen, have you guys ever played around sort of after a show and thrown a big porno movie up on that big screen?
That's a very good idea. I'm sure we'll be doing that soon.
I mean, who doesn't want to see a 9-foot-wide clitoris? That's what I want to know.
Well,
speak
for yourself there.
we built that screen.
The rest of us use our imaginations.
We built that screen just to fit the fifth member.
The fifth member!
Yes.
Member, get it? All right, we'll be right back.
I think it would be good to show an Andy Warhol movie or something, you know, at the end of the night, you know, one of those nude things that he did. I think it's the appropriate place to show a Warhol movie.
Ask Adam that question. I'm just curious.
It's kind of a shot in the dark, actually. Something about seeing his legs up on the console and,
because
you know.
I actually saw his willy from the pool this very morning. I was there sitting down with my kids and the window opened. And there it was. And it's almost 9 foot, even when it's not up on the screen.
It's bigger the closer you are.
Okay. Oh, what I wanted to do is, well, I guess I'm going to be changing the mood a little bit right now. You kind of do a farewell, I guess, to Jeff Buckley at the end of some of your recent shows. I know you guys recorded the same song at one time, and we're going to play Hallelujah in just a minute. But could you talk a little bit about him? Who wants to talk about Jeff Buckley?
I'll say...
Yeah, go ahead, Edge.
He was just an incredible singer. You know, we're big fans of his album. It's a very special record. And ran into him a couple of times in New York. Saw him perform in Chennai in New York. And
you know Chennai? Have you heard of that place?
It's this small little club.
It's an Irish-run coffee shop. But what are you laughing? He always laughs when I say the word poetry. And
that's Adam laughing.
But it was a great venue for lots of people. The Pogues, Jeff Buckley, Gavin Friday, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a great little place to see somebody in the raw, you know, just, and he was playing just acoustic guitar and anyway, he's no longer with us.
He's gone now. He drowned in the Mississippi River about a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Just really sad because I think he had an incredible talent and, you know, I was looking forward to his next record, as I'm sure a lot of people were.
What was cool about him was, you know, he wasn't into this beautiful death trip. You know, as a person, that wasn't what he was on about. You know, there's a lot of people think it's cool to sort of die on a cross if you're a pop star or, you know, take your own life or, you know, live out the heroin chic or whatever you want to call it. Well, you know, he wasn't into that. He wanted to live. And he didn't want to go, you know, he didn't want to go early like his dad. And that's the really, I think that's the thing that makes it hurt all the more, is that he had, you know, he had so much life in himself.
Thank you. All right, let's play the song. This is Pop Invasion, 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, YouTube.
This radio station has been seized by YouTube.
We have you two here in the studio on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. And Bono, you were sort of pointing out something you really admired about Jeff Buckley as a singer during that last song. Could you share that with our audience, please?
It was just envious, just raw envy. It was just that last, the coda on that last tune. It's a Leonard Cohen song.
Extended note, about 22 seconds.
It's just 22 seconds of just singing without a new breath. It's not important to
and
the
it's
outside
emotive.
World, but for me, as you know, it's very humbling.
Well, the reason I thought it was important is because it was meaningful to you, and if there's anybody listening to the Jeff Buckley song and appreciative of the comments we made just before that, they can just know that Bono was sitting here admiring the very same thing.
Yeah, I was.
All right, it's YouTube Pop Invasion. Tammy Heidi walked in here with her singles right now. We're trying to figure out exactly what older songs we're going to be playing, because we are going to play some older U2 songs. We're going to play Seconds in just a few minutes. But Edge... Of course, you picked the show that I didn't see up in Oakland to do a karaoke version of San Francisco.
This is true, Jed. I'm sorry. What can I say?
So tell everybody, describe what was on the video screen and where you sang it and the response you got from the audience last night's Pop Mart show.
I was watching a screen with the lyrics. That was it, unfortunately. We hoped there would be some cheesy images to go with the karaoke visuals, but it was just the lyrics. But the people of San Francisco responded with bouquets of flowers, which was, I thought, very appropriate. And they got into the spirit of it. And they didn't mind when I completely messed up, you know, halfway through the song.
Oh, you weren't reading the lyrics off the video screen?
Even though I was reading the lyrics off the video screen, I still managed to get lost. It's just one of those great moments which this show affords us. You know, we can do stuff like that when you got a screen. You can do some really cheesy karaoke numbers, and it's a bit of fun.
Okay, well,
the Cheddar version.
The Cheddar.
Tammy had a question.
What should we do in Los Angeles, by the way?
Well, that was it. That was going to be it.
I think
it
people
was,
should send in.
Is it going to be L.A. Woman, or is it going to be I Love L.A.? If you guys did L.A. Woman, but don't do a karaoke. Just do your own L.A. Woman.
I think
Hotel California is another possibility.
Hotel California, yeah.
Your own version or a karaoke version?
Can you get a karaoke version of Hotel California? Because if you can...
Please don't think about
that's the one. That is the one.
That would be brilliant.
Please do your own version of it. Please don't make me listen to studio musicians replicating an Eagles song.
You have something against elevator music?
actually, no. Actually, I heard No Rain.
That's where we're all going.
The Eagles were studio musicians.
Yeah, they kind
of
are.
That's their thing, wasn't it?
Maybe you're right. Okay, we have you two in the studio here all last year recording pop, spending this year and part of next year with Pop Mart. Big project. Big project. Do you guys have anything else to do but work on this tour while you're on tour? Do you get any time to yourselves at all? I'm getting a frown from Larry, meaning no.
It's a bit of a sore subject, the old time off issue. We haven't really had a day off for a while. We have non-show days, but...
It's very hard for Edge to
watch
keep
the
up
whinging
the
rock star.
Classes.
Listen, okay.
Watch the whinging rock star.
The whinging war rock stars.
I'm getting dagger looks from Bono across
the street.
No, but seriously, it's been fun. It's been hard but fun putting it together.
It's been hard fun.
Well,
hard fun.
Answer
and
the
that's
question.
The best kind of fun. Well, what is the question again?
Do you have any time to yourself? Just not in a long time.
We have. No, we do. We sleep 4 or 5 hours every night.
God. You mean every morning?
We get to be in U2 every day, which is pretty good fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's all right. You know, we've always got something on every night. You know, we get to see a show.
Okay. That's Adam. That's great. Okay. So a follow-up question to that would be, do the logistics of doing such a big tour and having it be this all-consuming thing compromise the performance?
Hello?
You're looking at me?
Yeah.
You're looking at me. Have you got a problem with that?
You're looking at me?
Well, I don't know. People, when we play the Tibetan show there, the free Tibetan concert organized by the Adam Yank and the Beastie Boys.
Right, week and a half ago in New York.
Yeah, we played that in New York, and it was just a stripped-down thing. You know, we just turned up with a couple of amps, and we played. And people were going, wow, that was amazing. And it's great to hear you play like that. Thing is, we play like that every night. It's just, you know, it's just a lot cheaper.
Well, it's not too late. You know, you can call your crew and tell them not to put up the big screen.
No.
You know, leave the olive in the crates. Yeah. Just leave it in the truck. We'll just show up on the stage.
But we just play like that anyway. I like all the I like the opera. I think it's like I've always liked the big music. I've always liked rock and roll to run away with itself. I hate the miserabilism that has been around at the end of the 80s and the start of the 90s, where it was against the law to be in a big band or have big ambitions for your music. We want to see how far we can take it. That's the same thing. We were like that when we were 16, you know?
I'm talking to my engineer, Rick, here. Do you think you can find something on the little hard disk here that we have about the girl who called yesterday and asked that question about selling out? Do you remember what we labeled it as? If you can find it, just play it, because I thought it was kind of funny. So Elise asks, do you ever get on each other's nerves? Yeah, Larry, come on, Larry.
No, never.
No, you don't do any nerve getting awning or.
No, one big happy family. Yeah, it's just rosy in the garden.
Okay, that's the dysfunctional cousin talking right now. Is there anybody else in the family that gets on each other's nerves? Adam?
No, not at all. We
not even recording?
We wear each other's clothes all the time. It's fine.
Do you ask?
Wear each other's makeup, you know.
Let's see. So thanks, Elise. Oh, here's one.
I hate it when they don't put the top back on the toothpaste. That's what really does my head in.
You know, I got to admit, I was checking out your toilet articles the other night when I was using your bathroom.
Well, you know what they say, the group that flosses together.
Right. These are healthy people. Oh, okay. Do you have that little bit? Okay.
What was it anyway?
All right, we'll play it in just a second. I'll go over there and look for it. All right, we got you two here at 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. Here is Seconds. We'll be right back.
Eric has been living a lie.
Man, you're so pathetic.
Maria has been paying the price.
Lying around all day, smoking pot.
Erica knows what she has to do.
Watching these stupid reruns.
You too, Pop Invasion.
Wow, that was so weird. I thought I was listening to a commercial, but that was our own jingle. All right, it's Jed the Fish in the studio with you two and Edge. I forgot to point out that that was one of your requests for an older U2 song. What do you like about Seconds that we just played?
He sings it.
I sing it. Oh. Sorry. You probably didn't know that, Jed.
No, I didn't know that. All right, let's go to Ted. From Tarzana, he's on the phone. He has a question for you two on Pop Invasion. Hello there.
How you doing?
Can you guys all hear?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whip it out, Ted.
Well, I just want to ask a question on so much popularity on Irish folk dancing and like James Galloway music with the Celtic. Is there any type of music like that or indigenous music at all that has helped you guys influence with your music or your style of anything like that at all?
Okay. Do you understand the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Larry likes folk. You want to answer that? I can do some folk dancing for the people.
Okay.
Live on radio.
He's actually going to
do some folk dancing.
Okay. Bono is standing up on the counter right here.
Okay.
While Larry responds to the question, would you lean in the microphone, please?
Larry. We need a bit of a beat there for Bono, a bit of a jig.
Okay, well, can I just say this?
Yep.
First of all, what they did to us in Ireland, okay, they actually castrated the our dance movement. We had a dance movement, and it was a fantastic thing, but I'm going to show you what happened to it. This
okay.
is how you're supposed to Irish dance.
Okay. Ready.
I have no
he is, he's standing on the desk. He's moving. The legs are moving. Up and down.
All right.
That's
how it goes.
Okay.
did you
he did it. He had like his feet going behind his calves and everything, and you know, it's like a little...
no pelvis involved.
No pelvis.
See, that was the problem. That's why we needed Elvis.
Okay, we don't need Lord of the Dance. We need Board of the Dance.
Stationary.
And anyway, thank you very much for your question.
Is there any way of... I haven't gotten to be able to get tickets. Is there any way of getting tickets?
All right, we'll put you in front row. Hang on.
All right.
All right, let's play that caller that came in yesterday.
My question is, their style has changed so much over the years, and I'm wondering if they feel that they've sold out to the corporation.
What does sell out mean?
Sell out, it just means kind of altering their style for the corporation.
I missed that.
For the corporation? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you play it one more time. Play it one more time for Bono, because he's really going to want to respond to this. He didn't know he had to have his headphones on.
My question is, their style has changed so much over the years, and I'm wondering if they feel that they've sold out to the corporation.
What does sell out mean?
Sell out, it just means kind of altering their style for the corporation.
For the corporation?
Yeah.
You mean like for PolyGram?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to those dicks over at PolyGram and see if they're making you two change their style.
No, you know what I mean.
They call a tour Pop Mart, for heaven's sakes.
No.
You get to go to the Coliseum this Saturday.
Okay.
That's enough. All right.
Cool.
All right, go ahead and
dig into that
one.
What was your name again?
I don't remember.
Or should I just call her Sir?
Yeah, just call her Sir. Well,
I think if people think that that we have to change our style in order to sell records, they should just look at the charts right now, because we're not in the top 20. And in fact, what we have to deal with is people telling us, why do you keep changing your style? Because... you know, that's actually the most commercial thing to do, would be to, you know, just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh, yeah, we didn't think of that.
we didn't think of that.
Wow.
I understand. I mean, the other thing about it is that it's really important to know that, I mean, we're not also being deliberately obscure by wanting to change a style. We're motivated by very selfish goals, all right, but it's just trying to keep ourselves turned on and trying to keep ourselves interested, and that's what we're at. And even Popmart, you know, we're trying to be honest about the size of the group, the scale of the event, the fact that it is a commercial enterprise and that we're selling tickets. Now, a lot of rock and roll groups won't admit to that. And they won't admit to the fact that they're actually being paid by the folk that come to see them. But we're conscious of that, and that's, you know, and that's something that we're trying to put across in this show. You don't get this in dance music or hip hop. In hip hop, people are proud of their, you know, achievement. They're proud that they're putting on a big show and people are coming to see it. But in white music and a lot of alternative rock, at least in the last few years, you get this kind of fake modesty,
almost a myth of cred.
Yeah, and it's over. And the 90s doesn't, you know, isn't about that. And it's about actually taking it on and being honest about the fact that when you were 16, you wanted to be in a big band and take it as far as you could. But the thing that demands is not kissing ass. And I don't think you could ever point to, you know, in the last 15 years, we've never had to kiss ass. We've never had anyone from Island Records or PolyGram ever try to tell us what to do. And pretty much they stay out of our way, which is the genius of Island Records. And we're, you know, we have an independent spirit as a group, and we still have now.
Is Chris Blackwell a vampire?
Chris Blackwell is a vampire.
He's a Jamaican pirate.
He's a great gentleman and has, you know, has been long suffering, I'm sure, in the various different directions we've taken, but has always supported us. No, they just get out of our way. It's very cool.
And he's the president of Island Records. Okay, I want to play Audio Web right now. Who wants to set up Bank Robber here on 106.7 K? Adam, be the DJ.
This is Bank Robber. This is Audio Web. They're from Manchester.
KROQ, U2, Pop Invasion, and we just played something from Audio Web. Okay, how did you guys find Audio Web? It's on Mother Records, which is kind of the U2 label.
It's a label that we don't have as much to do with now as we used to. We kind of handed it over to a guy called Malcolm Dunbar, and he found this band, Audio Web. And
great band. I played them on Catch of the Day like a month and a half ago.
And it's a great record, great album, really good band. And we thought might be interested in hearing it. It's also a song that The Clash made famous as well. So
that's right, from their first album. It's an old song. All right, we'll be right back with Pop Invasion on 106.7 K Rock.
Make more money. That's exactly what you're the reason. The American dream. Buy one of everything. Get the second one free.
Please. Pop Invasion. We'll be back.
Why can't I get a girlfriend like her?
Them before they ate you.
Over the years, this whole wagon has served our bunch well.
Brought to you by Power Bar, Power Off. And now, our first casualty.
Pop Invasion.
Volume 2, Pop Invasion Radio Show.
It's new.
I love it.
Pick one up today.
Okay, it's Jed the Fair. She's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. And we're going to be giving out a number, a different number, in just a little while. So don't let it throw you. That's when the rest of the country is going to join us. But for the next few minutes, we got you two here at 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. Had the pleasure of interviewing one-year-old producers, Brian Eno. A few years ago, and he said some very nice things about you. I said, well, you know, is the nature of song structure in pop music going to change? You know, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus. Is there anybody that's going to come along and change that? And he goes, well, actually, U2 has. He goes, they do it in a very subtle way, but they have lots of different parts to their music that a lot of bands don't have. And I've seen some photographs of the song diagrams that Larry's made, because I guess the drummer kind of has to know the song first. And another great
thing.
That's
the theory.
Yeah. Another great thing you said is that Bono, you were his favorite voice, period. Mm. Isn't that a great thing to say?
That is a hell of a thing to say. Because I don't really think of myself as a singer at all. So it's always nice if people like your voice. I personally think I sound like a girl, and especially on the early records, the macho side of me had a problem with that, but you know, I started smoking cigarettes to see what I could do, but no, I still sound like a girl.
What were some of the little pranks? Because he likes to play little tricks in the studio and little reindeer games and stuff like that. Did he do any
reindeer games?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, the
oblique strategies.
The oblique strategies. Did he?
What's extraordinary about Brian Eno is that he's coming from to music from such a different perspective, and he loves pop, and he loves doo-wop, and he loves gospel, and then he likes seriously hardcore stuff, and you know, and he invented ambient music, and a lot of the new styles that have been around in the last few years. Brian was there, their genesis, like, you know, 20 years ago. He's an extraordinary and luminous mind. But in the studio...
Luminous, great word.
Thanks. Yeah. Great shirt. but in the studio, he just doesn't let things go asleep. That's his thing. Because, you know, if you go and see rock bands in studios, they're sitting in there watching the television and kind of, you know, eating Chinese takeaway. And Brian's not like that at all. He's just having a firecracker around, because he's constantly attacking things. He tried to wipe Where the Streets Have No Name, for instance. That was one of his things. He got, because we were working on it for too long, and a great engineer called...
He came along and tried to wipe it out, or erase it, in other words?
Yeah, there's a great engineer called Pat McCarthy who pinned him to the wall to try and stop that, and thankfully he did, because there was no other recording of it, so it turned out okay.
Okay, we're playing Slug right now.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's the spirit of Brian. This is a record we made with him, where we put him in charge, and we formed a group called Passengers. And this is a real magic hour song, I think. So, yeah, stick it on.
It's 106.7 K-Rock.
With any other plastic wrap,
below $94 a month payment.
Makes food better. More cottony soft fiber than the leading brand. Makes food better. We didn't think we could afford that. In actual touch tests,
people say 24%
more.
You too.
And those you've been comfortable with all your life.
You too. Pop Invasion.
From Ultrasoft. Comfort for your family. Soft, thick, Kleenex. Soft, thick, cleaner.
Here's you two, Adam, Larry, Bono, and the Edge with Jeff the Fish, live from Burbank.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody's all about pop music.
Well, good evening. I'm glad you can make it. Hey, it's Jed the Fish, and this is Pop Invasion with you too. And we're having a blast. We're in the K-Rock studios here in Burbank, and we're so glad that you two made it, because everybody in the whole building gets to drink. I mean, we've got booze all over the place. And everybody, it's like a free day here. And so thank you very much for making it, you guys.
Yeah, well, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Here.
Yeah. Well, somebody close to me. In fact, Noel Gallagher from Oasis said POP stands for Paddy's on the Piss. So here we are.
And Paddy's our way. Irishman? Is that right?
We are, yes.
Okay. I just had to get that straight. Okay, so you two Spices here, Nutmeg Larry, Bono Basil, Edgy Spice, and Adam Paprika, and they have mounted this huge tour that they insist it's fun to do. Something about having these giant toys to play with and play a rock concert. It's called Pop Mart. So we have a question here. By the way, if you want to give us a call, it's 888-POP-1067. 888-POP-1067. And also, we're going to play some songs that you two has picked out. All right. Somebody called and said... Oh, this is hysterical. This is hysterical because they didn't get the name of the tour right. Okay. Okay. Edge, could you read this in the microphone and be sure and pronounce every syllable so you get the essence of the question?
This is
fabulous. Why the hell did you call this the Pot Mark Tour? I don't get it. The answer is, well, you wouldn't, because we didn't.
See, I don't understand if they're like a league ahead of us there and, you know, tormenting us with their disinformation or whether they actually don't know it's called Pop Mart. No, the essence of their question is what I was going to ask you about the concept of Pop Mart. Who understands that the least in the band? So we'll have them answer the question.
I do, but I think Adam should put things right.
Pop Mart.
All right, the concept of Pop Mart.
Adam's Pop Smart.
Right.
Actually, I don't really understand it, but I think it's got something to do with if we didn't do it, somebody else would.
How, let's see, Edge, how is the writing process different for the Pop album, which took a long, arduous year that you had no idea it was going to take that long?
But, I don't think it was any different, really. U2 albums are all the same. You go in, you have a couple of ideas, and some mates, and you just try and come out at the other end with some great songs. And in order to do that, you have to go down some strange avenues, do a lot of experiments, and try and hold your nerve.
What were some of the experiments that did not work, that did not end up on the Pop album?
Well, I think we pushed things very much in a direction of loops and samples, and we enjoyed that for a while, but when it came down to mixing the album, we discovered that the thing that we were most interested in was the sound of the band, and so in a lot of cases loops were thrown out the window and we basically replayed everything as a band. That's basically a testimony to the sound and the chemistry of the musicians. You know, we had some great arrangements with loops, but it just wasn't it.
We tried a few Spice Girls covers.
You did?
That didn't really come off. We were going to call ourselves the Spice Burgers.
Yeah, the accordion tunes didn't work out either, you know. The accordions and the mandolins, we left them behind.
This is U2 Pop Invasion. And by the way, Jed the Fish, thank you very much for having me on your radio station and being a guest on your radio station, and I appreciate it. So, what the... yeah, because they don't have to have us there. I guess I'm only there because you're here. But anyway, it sounds like there could be like a second album in the mid-tour if you really wanted to rework some of those loop and Howie B type stuff that you were using that didn't make it onto the Pop album. It seems like if you wanted to take a few weeks out, you could put out another album the same way you put out the Zooropa album.
That's a possibility. We're also... using up some of the outtakes as B-sides. We've got some fantastic B-sides coming out on the singles, and a couple of other tunes are making their way into movies and whatever. That's always the way, you know. You end up with, at the end of an album, you've always got about a dozen outtakes that didn't quite make the record, but some of them are really special.
Bono, you just untied my shoelace and that's making me uncomfortable. Can you see I picked these shoes specifically to go with a shirt of mine you love?
I was about to tell you that. Clashing is cool. Don't you know that?
Loose ends are what it's all about, Jed.
Okay, Larry, were you the guy who spent a year in New York City? Just step up to the microphone and talk about what you learned about your craft in New York City.
Myself and Adam spent about a year, over 2 years, in New York, and just did.
Wait, what was your intent going to New York?
To basically try and learn how to use machines, understand how loops work, try and learn how to play the drums properly, learn how to play bass and stuff like that. And
now, what did you learn about playing the drums in New York?
And the dancing, Larry. What about the tap dancing?
Yeah, I actually went down to Boston to a guy down there who was a drum doctor. And he just told me I should go back and play the piano. So that's basically the story. So it was a failure as far as drums were concerned, but I learned how to use a computer to make loops.
Which kind of computer?
It was a Mac, actually.
A Mac but you guys sold out to the Microsoft Network. Your new website is up right now, u2popmart.msn.com. And I want to know, Bill Gates, how much did he give you? Was it in the terabytes? Was it in the billions of terabytes? How much RAM was it?
He's given us flesh. He's actually given us flesh. He's given us lots of fantastic men and women to actually do a great website. That's what he's given us.
That's good, because it takes a full-time job to do a good website. Probably
well,
a whole staff
any,
of people.
Unfortunately, that's the problem with the internet, is there's a lot of not very interesting stuff out there. So, and we we're lucky in some ways that we have the best websites out there, but they're all run by our fans. So we reckoned if we were going to do something ourselves, we were actually going to have to work very hard to do something better than the U2 fans on the internet were doing already. So we were lucky enough to be able to do something with Microsoft, and they've helped us with a lot of personnel and a lot of hardware and software and menswear. And
the fact
right.
is, you guys must have a lot of pictures, a lot of little pieces of audio that you can use, and just really don't have any place for, you know, worthwhile stuff. So, you know, why not put them up on a website, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, this the thing is, trying to do something that hasn't been done before. There's no end of useless YouTube information, but actually putting together something that people are going to be interested to go and check out. That's the real prize. And we've got some ideas, some really interesting ideas.
Okay, and this is
Adam's brother Sebastian. It's actually.
I'm sorry. Oh, Adam's brother Sebastian's working on it.
Yeah, so it's like it's coming from us, you know, and that's the important thing. You have to be involved in it. You know, you can't farm it out completely.
Okay. By the way, if you want to go to that website, it's youtubepopmart.msn.com. Okay, we want to play Please, but what we did is we got jingles for all you guys. They're custom-made jingles. So since you're taking over this radio station, we thought we'd go into a jingle, come out of the jingle with your song, and then you got like 23 seconds over the intro of Please. Actually, 37 seconds. So can you fill up 37 seconds following your jingle over the intro of the song?
How do we fill up this whole?
Well, I would suggest holes. Talking about the song, Please.
Oh, that old thing.
All right, let's give it a whack here. It's YouTube Pop Invasion.
They can design future worlds.
It's Bono! Pop Invasion!
Oh, felt like Desi Arnaz there for a second.
He had his arms out.
You want me to talk about this tune?
That's right. You got about 30 seconds left.
This is the tune. This is the sleeper on the record. It's the song that's, I think, connecting with people the most on the tour. Because all the bollocks aside of the 50-foot lemon and the screen, it's about songs this tour. And this is a great song.